Y'all 1, 2, 3 me now. Good evening, everyone, and God bless you. Thank you for coming back to be with us tonight. I pray you've had a good Sunday afternoon. I pray that you've somewhere been able to worship and be with the body, whether it be through parking lot services, whether it be through online or whatever. But to God be the glory, we're having you back with us tonight. We're going to kindly do things a little bit different tonight as we're just now getting back used to, pray for me. Having issues with my headaches. Being as we're getting back used to our, it's messing with my eyes. Doing our different types of services. And so tonight, being as that's true that we're just now getting back into our Facebook services alone on Sunday nights, and my headache, we're not going to have any singing tonight, but tonight we're going to be over in the book of Matthew again, Matthew chapter 13. If you remember, I told you this morning that this will probably be one of the last back-to-back that services that we've been looking at the life, the actions, and the teachings of Christ Jesus. And so I figured with this morning talking about how in chapter 13, while Christ was teaching by the Sea of Galilee, not only did he teach the parable of the that we talked about this morning, the wheat and the tares. As a matter of fact, he talks about a lot of them. He talks about the parable of the mustard seed. He talks about the parable of the net. That's a very neat one to me, because understanding the culture that was going on at that time, they had what we also would call trash fish. Basically, they weren't any good, and you couldn't eat them, and they ate you bait or whatever, which they fished with nets. And so what they would do is, if it wasn't a keeper but it was a trash fish, instead of throwing it back on the in the water, they just leave it right there on the bank and let the heat of the sun basically burn it up. So kind of helps you understand that. But we're not going to keep you long tonight, but I think this will go along with our lesson this morning. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer and invite the Holy Spirit to be in our midst. Also, you can take this time to text someone or invite someone or share our services. So thankful for all of you sharing this morning. Thankful for the sweet spirit we had today as well. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for your wondrous provisions, Lord, how that you go before us, you prepare a way. God, you're always faithful, Heavenly Father, Lord, and even when we don't understand certain things, why certain things happen, God, we can trust you, knowing you that you're at work. And so, Lord, tonight I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you be glorified in this service, that we learn a little bit more tonight about who Christ is, the way he taught, and how we can apply not only his teachings, but his mannerisms, what he did, how he lived to our lives, Heavenly Father, Lord. But God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into our lesson tonight, we do want to just have some time of praise and thanksgiving, and then we do want to read off our prayer needs for tonight. But again, I'm amazed at how Christ Jesus is working, how the Holy Spirit's working, how he's been faithful to Thomas Village, and how he's using Thomas Village. And I'm so thankful for that. And you know that one of our prayers, at least my prayers, is that God, you increase our area of influence, that you allow us to tell others about you and to minister to others in different regions and all that. And today I was just blown away. I don't know if they were able to be with us live, but it wasn't long after that Mr. Edward Jean Stewart Woodcook was with us. Now, they are missionaries in Brazil, and they were able to be with us in service. So I just want to tell them thank you very much for being with us. There was also a lot of new faces today, and I hope that we've made contact with you all. Just telling you it's good to have you with us. And again, If we can help you in any way, don't hesitate to call, leave a message on Messenger for on Facebook for the church. And usually, if you call me and I don't answer, or one of our deacons, they'll be back to you within the day. And if you send something to the church, we'll be back to you within 24 to 48 hours. So whatever you have on your heart, don't hesitate to come to us. In the way of prayer needs tonight, we do want to remember the lost, the backslidden, marriages, and the depressed. We want to remember the Barbara Haas family. I want to remember Brother Tommy and Sister Alma Mullins as they're battling sickness. Also, praise report, Brother John Franklin had been tested for COVID and come back negative, so we give God the glory for that. Riley Clements, that's a God allowed me to be his pastor and associate pastor. He's a little bit older than Talmadge, around 14, 15. He's had a lot of surgery and health problems in his life. He had a major surgery just a couple days ago. And yesterday afternoon, his temperature spiked, he had, with the issues he has to go from South Georgia all the way up to Atlanta, and some things are very serious right now. So we ask you to pray not only for Riley Clements, but also for Chester and Teresa Clements. Chester, we call him Coot, so, but also just pray for that whole situation. We want to pray for Miss Judy Owens. Want to pray for Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Pauline Weiniger, Brother Toddy, Johnny Johnson, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jeanette Carter, Kent Smith, Kinsley Roberts, Linda Jordan, Brenda Brown, Lynn Mullins, Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Nolan Hensley. Good news about Brother Eddie Hood, which told he was being released today. As we heard, there were good news this morning. It just kind of continues to pile on. Jill Dysart, Merrill Edwards, Wilma and Don Daniels, Cleveland Sexton, Gina Franks. Mr. Sexton came through his surgery well. Gina Franks, Mary Snodgrass, Sheila Stanley, J.C. and Derek Osborne and their triplets that are on the way. Donnie Fields, Hazel Stanley, Peggy Stanley, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson, Jay and Ruby Keck, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Henrietta Roach, Bobby and June Jesse, Margaret, Sister Margaret, Brother Chet Wheeler, Miss Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, and our national elections coming up in November. As we, and then always we want to pray for our country. I mean, it's in tough shape, as we talked about this morning. But I do want to thank God that another praise report, that the FM transmitter is coming, and you'll be able to sit in your car with the air conditioning running. But here we also going to throw a prayer request in that. Pray that it's here by next Sunday. It'd be good if it was here by tomorrow or Tuesday, so we could kind of practice with it a little bit. But that's gonna make it a whole lot more comfortable. But I thought about what Brother Otis said today. Can you imagine being over there by the Sea of Galilee or out there in some of those barren places? I bet it wasn't too comfortable out there. I mean, I'd say that it, which we've become soft. I at least I can say that to my, about myself, you know. The word is worth it. Amen, and the truth is worth it. So if you do have any prayer needs, do post them on our page, and Brother Ken will get them to me, and we'll make sure they get here on the list. We're going to have a few moments silence, and then after that we'll move on into Matthew chapter 13. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus, God, it's good to be back in your house tonight. And Heavenly Father, Lord, though in spite of what we feel, in spite of what we may think, God, you are worthy of our sacrifice. You're worthy of our efforts. You're worthy of bowing and bending of knee. And so, God, tonight we come before you knowing that you are the great physician. You're the great psychologist. You're the great creator. You're the great protector. You're the great provider. Lord, you are our all in all. And so, God, as we've lifted up these names tonight, God, we don't know each and every issue that they're facing, but God, they have been brought to us, and so we just want to be faithful in lifting up them to you, whether it be spiritual, as we know the number one need tonight, not only in Duffield, Virginia, but all of Virginia, all of America, all over this world, is for people to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so, Lord, we also pray tonight, Heavenly Father, Lord, for those that are traveling. I know there's vacation going on. There's families that are being attacked. And, God, there's those that's dealing with bereavement and issues like that. And so, Lord, we just lift them up to you tonight. I thank you for everyone that watches our services on Facebook, that attends in our parking lot, that help us by giving their tithes and bringing it into the storehouse, Lord. Let them always know that we don't take them for granted, and we're thankful that they've allowed us to be a part of their relationship with Christ. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you increase our ministry. I pray for those that are listening for us, with us tonight and studying with us tonight. And God, maybe it'll be later on in the week that they get to this service. But Lord, wherever they're at, whatever's going on, we trust that you're going to give just the right word at just the right time. But God, we do pray for those that are battling corona tonight. We pray for those, Heavenly Father, Lord, that are just don't know what to do with their life right now, whether it be depression or anxiety or whatever it might be. But Lord, we're thankful again that you are the all in all, our all in all. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. If you would, look over in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And we're just going to jump a few verses down, Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9 to begin with. And we're going to do like kindly like we did at the end of the service this morning. We are going to look at the parable, and then we're going to look at the explanation that Christ gives. And then I'm going to talk about what I believe is the greatest misunderstanding about this passage. And this is one that you're going to know. It's the parable of the sower. Of all the parables that Jesus taught, this is probably the most well-known. And we hear a lot of things that are talked about it, but I'm not going to try to teach you anything. I'm going to let Christ speak for himself. But the misconception, the one that I want to talk about. All right? Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 3. He, meaning Jesus, told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, since the soil was not deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Still other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still other seeds fell on the good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Let everyone who has ears listen. And now, notice that's the same way that he ended the parable this morning. If you remember, that for those who have ears, listen. Or basically, if you can hear this, then pay attention. Act on it. If you can understand this, act on it. And I think that as we see time drawing closer, we need to be more committed to just letting the gospel go forth, telling others about the love of Jesus Christ, letting them know that there is a heaven and there to gain and a hell to shun. And that's going to take holy boldness. It's going to take men and women that say, I'm willing to put what others may think about me behind me, if it means one soul. If it means one person missing out on hell, then what, you know, like we talked about, what would we do a few weeks ago? What would we do to see the paralyzed walk? And I believe that a lot of people, not only in Thomas Village, but just in our area, we have good-hearted people around here, and I believe we'd do a lot. We'd give money, we'd give time, we'd give effort, just to see someone rise up and be able to walk again. But when we take that mentality and we apply it to the eternal, and remember, what we know about Christ, he's always more focused on the eternal than he is the physical and the temporal. And that's what we need to do. So as we look in this parable, now remember, the parable, we pay close attention because when Christ is telling a parable, he's not just telling a bedtime story. He's not just trying to keep the disciples appeased so they wouldn't be complaining. No, he is trying to present a spiritual truth in a form which we can understand better. That's just like the relationship between God and us. What has he given us? He's given us the relationship between father and mother and child that we can understand the love a little bit. We can't understand it wholly, but man, that gives us a whole lot better insight because of that relationship. And that's what the parables are to do. It takes what we're familiar with, situations, elements, characteristics, all that of this earth, and puts it in a form to where we can, hey, okay, that's similar to this, or I can understand it better because I know I've been in that situation. And so that's what we're doing here. And so Jesus lays it out. He says, okay, what we have is we have a sower. Basically, you could say a seed slinger, a farmer, something like that. And it says, what is he doing? He's the spreader of seeds. The sower begins to plant those seeds. Now think about this. When he goes out and he begins to throw those seeds, any farmer that puts a seed in the ground is going to expect what? Growth. Going to expect something to come up. So when we see this, we've got to think, okay, he's not just out there wasting time, but with expectation, the sower is sowing the seeds. And it says that the first type of soil where the seed landed was the path. Basically, it would be considered a trail or a walkway, but it's where people would have walked. They'd have carried their buggies. Their animals would have walked up and down on it. And I don't know what the soil is exactly like, but around here, if you walk up and down in one, what happens? It becomes compressed. It becomes compacted. And that loose soil, that loose dirt becomes almost like a clay or something like that. And you can take the seed, and what happens to the seed? It doesn't penetrate the soil. It just bounces up. It just bounces up. It never has any time to germinate. It never has any time to cause any growth or any life. But what does it say? It says, because it did not penetrate the soil, the seed that the sower had thrown out, what happens? It gets eaten up by birds. And then it goes on to tell us that the sower then found ground that was kind of similar to our area, rocky soil. And that had many stones on that top layer of soil. What we would see is, yes, there was pretty good dirt there, but there were rocks and stones and maybe even some slabs that were there. And so we know that it says that the seed penetrated the earth a little bit there, but And it actually had a little bit of growth, or it seemed to have life to it. But the roots could not go too deep. And because of that, when the sun came up, the heat of the day came up, those roots didn't go deep enough to find water, didn't go deep enough to find nutrients. And so what happened? Not enough food to grow on. It was cut off and it was burned up. That's just like some of the trees around here. They can look big and grow, but if they don't have a good root system, if they're on a rocky area, on my property, I've got good dirt on one side, and I've got, spruce trees? Is that what they are? And I've learned, those let you know that there's some rocks going on around there. And so, what happened? This one died. It died. It got burned up by the sun, and it's dead. And then the third ground that it was thorny ground. This is basically, we can relate it back to kind of the thought that we had this morning. There was good earth there, but at the same time in that earth, there were weeds and thorns and thistles. So while the seed penetrated the soil, it also, there were other elements growing at the same time. And those other elements, wheat, tares, thorns, thistles, overtook the seed. And ultimately, the seed itself died. And then lastly, we see that the sower found good ground. This means that this ground had been prepared. It had been cleared. All the thorns and the thistles had been hoed up, plowed out. The rocks, somebody had took time to go in there and to take the rocks out and to move all the rocks out. And so this seed landed. And what happened? It penetrated the soil. The roots were allowed to grow deep. Only the good seed was taking the nutrients up that was there. There was nothing around it to drown it out. And what happened? Life began. And not just did it come to life, but it says that every one of those that found the good soil, what did it do? It produced some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. But every one of them produced some type of fruit. Amen? Some type of fruit. And so that's the scene that we have. Out of four different grounds, we see that one produced fruit. Now, if you jump over to Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. Also, you can find this parable in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, and Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. But we're jumping down, staying in the same chapter of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 18. So now, Jesus begins to explain the parable of the sower. So listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word immediately, receives it with joy, but he has no root, and it is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but worries of the time and the deceit of wealth choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on good ground, this is one who hears and understands the word, who produces fruit and yield, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what is sown. Now, as we're thinking about this, Christ declares that the seed that the sower is throwing, now we're going to assume that the sower of the seed is again the Son of Man. And what did the Son of Man came preaching? He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what the seed is. The seed is the word of the kingdom. It's the word of God. Basically, it is the good news of Christ Jesus. It is salvation, repentance. Turn from your ways, turn to Christ Jesus, and in that you can find eternal, everlasting life and a relationship with our Creator. And then he goes on to say, okay, so this is what's being sown. This is what's being thrown out. This is what's being cast all over by the sower. And then he begins to break down the soils. And what we're going to see here is that the soils are not just people, but it is the hearts of people. Especially if you read in Luke and you read over in Mark, it becomes clear that the soils are the hearts. Or remember, we talked about the heart, and the heart is the center of who we are, our inner man, our emotional, our conscience, our thinking, our reasoning, all that. That's our inner being. And he says the path is what? The path is the hard-hearted individual. It's the one that has no place for the Word of God in their life. Even though they may hear it, just go on Facebook or watch on the news and you'll see these people. They're told of the love of Jesus. They're told of the dangers of hell. They're told of repentance. But yet immediately, I don't want to have nothing to do with your religion. I don't want to have anything to do with whatever. And so it's like seed being thrown and bouncing off the path. No penetration. And what does it say happens? That the birds, who are the birds? It's the devil. And it says he immediately comes along and they devour it up. And think about this. It's taken away. And in the lives of people today in America, those that's hard-hearted, it doesn't take much to replace the truth of God. There's so many lies out there that it doesn't take long. If you tell somebody, it's like water off a duck's back. It'll just be gone. And that's what we have. There's no place. It doesn't penetrate. Don't even consider it. And I tell you what, the more we see of the darkness of the spirit of Antichrist creeping over our country, the more we're going to see those type of hearts where the gospel just bounces off. It takes hold. They just reject it without giving it any thought. Matter of fact, you remember it says that he turns us over to a reprobate mind. That's one that don't even want to consider God or his ways. That's the hardness of the heart. But it goes on to say the rocky ground. And remember, we liken this to some of the soil around our area. Even some of the good soil, you have to go through and plow it up because of the rock on the top, you know. You got to get it out of the way. So this is a person whose heart, while willing to hear the truth, willing to receive the truth, there's other things that are there as well. See, this seed did penetrate the soil, but this soil was cluttered. It had rocks and stones and seeds. And so this person thinks about it. They hear it, and you know what? Sounds good. Miss Hale, go to heaven. Somebody loved me enough to give their life for me. Rose up on the third day. Yeah, we're thinking that sounds pretty good. But remember, it's shallow soil. And while you may see glimpses of life, other things begin to drain on their life. Remember, it says that the root didn't go down, didn't get that nutrients, wasn't allowed to grow, wasn't allowed to flourish. It didn't take, really. And what happened? Oh, yeah. And you've seen people like this. They'll come one Sunday and you'll see some type of emotional experience, but then you may never see them again. What happened? Other things. The roots never took hold. And ultimately, what do you end up having? Death. There's no life there. There's no life in that soul. Remember, it says it was killed by the sun. It was dead. And then there's the other soul, the thorny soul. Again, this soul looks pretty good, but there are other things there. There's thorns, thistles, weeds. And so the seed is thrown, and the word of God, the truth of God, is put out there and is considered, it's thought about. But again, what's receiving? Now think about it. You've got that soul. You've got that heart. And yes, you may have truth trying to grab hold, but at the same time, you've got these thorns. You've got these thistles. The Bible says, what does it call it? It says, worries or issues of that day and a desire to be wealthy. You see? So instead of allowing the truth to take hold, personal gain and interest take hold. And ultimately, what happens? You end up with no life. It's death. Oh, for a moment there, it might have looked good, but you still have no life. There's death. But then there's the last one, the good soul. This soul is where the gospel falls and is allowed to penetrate. Not only is it allowed to penetrate, but the individual begins to consider it, to accept it. It takes root, and it begins to grow. And notice what it says. It says that not only does it begin to grow, but it gets to a point to where it's going to produce fruit. Now, not every person is going to produce the same fruit nor the same amount of fruit because we're different people. But everyone that has received the seed and has the life of the seed within them, the word, the truth of the word, every one of them produces fruit. Now, briefly, I want to talk to you what I think is the biggest misconception here. I believe the biggest misunderstanding in this parable is the thought that more than one of these souls, more than one of these hearts, is actually an authentic believer. I believe that in this, what we're seeing is we're seeing four different types of people But only one of them is actually saved. Only one of them is actually saved. And you say, Brian, why do you say that? Because in the first one, the path or the roadway, the rocky soil, and the thorny soil, every one of them end up dead without fruit. Right? And I'm going to be honest with you. There was at one point where I would have said that the thorny soil was probably saved but backslidden. But here's why. Listen to what I say. And it all boils down to what's said there in that latter verse where it says that some 100, some 60, some 30. Jesus makes it very clear that if you are His, then there will be fruit that exemplifies the fact that you are His. What? Hey, we've said this before. The best commentary on the Bible is what? The Bible. That's exactly right. So, and remember, clearly in this parable, the fruit represents the product of life. The product of the seed growing. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew, over in Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruit. And that's the key. He said, hey, we're not to judge people. We're not to judge them on their salvation. But we are to look at people and inspect the fruit. And he said, Jesus said himself, if you want to know, check the fruit. If you want to know what type of tree it is, pecan, acorn, oak tree, whatever, you look at what it's producing. Apple tree, banana bush, what are they called? Banana tree, whatever they are. Every one of them, you identify the fruit. Those first three souls, there's nothing for you to identify because there's no fruit there. How could we identify them as authentic without there being fruit? And specifically, in the thorny soil, notice what he says. In the thorny soil, hold on. In verse 22, now the one sowed among the thorns, this is one who hears the word, but worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It does not, it never makes fruit. Clearly, he says, this one ain't producing fruit. The other ones we know, and he makes it abundantly clear that this one isn't producing fruit either. But listen, multiple times Jesus teaches. It's not that Jesus says you'll recognize them by the fruit one time. No, it is multiple times throughout the gospel. Listen, John chapter 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Again, there's got to be evidence. There's got to be the fruit. And then the Apostle Paul does the same things. Romans 7, verses 4 through 5. Likewise, my brothers and sisters, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised up from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law, we were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. And then we all know, multiple times, Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit, how that we're to have evidence in our life that the Holy Spirit lives within us. You say, Brian, why are you doing this? Because, once again, as we talked about this morning, ultimately, it boils down to what group are you in. Amen? That's what Christ said he came to do. Are you in the group? Their fruit is evident in your life that you've been born again and you've been saved. Because see, what we'd like to do is we'd like to take, because see, I'm the preacher's son, so I've heard this all my life. I'd like to say this one. Well, you know, I may not be living the way I should, but I'm right there in that thorny ground. You know, I do have life. I just may not be producing fruit. No. Can't quite go there. Because you got three soils that don't produce fruit, one soil that does. He said, you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know what group they're in by their fruits. I'm concerned about professing Christian souls. I think a lot of people have been deceived, especially here in the Bible Belt. You know what to say. You know how to say it. Why? Because you've heard it all your life. Grandma and grandpa. You've went through the rites of passage. VBS as a child. Church camp as a teen. Baptized probably two or three times. Member of the church. Pay your tithe. Do all that. But truly in your life, is there evidence of whose group you're in? Just look at it and ask the Holy Spirit to tell you. I don't want to talk you out your salvation, but I'd rather you be sure than to wait too long. Look at the wheat, look at the tares. If you're willing to look, you can see the difference. But praise God, this is what, even if we have fallen, Jesus says, if we confess our sins, maybe we've drifted away. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and He'll raise us up. Let me just close with something awesome. I was thinking about this the other day. Peter, Simon Peter, I love him because I relate to him so much. He failed miserably. I mean, at the biggest time in Christ's life, the most difficult time in Christ's life, he left him, denied him, cussed to show those around him that he wasn't even affiliated. He didn't want them to think he was in Christ's group. Yet, 53 to 54 days later, that's not a long time, he preached one of the greatest evangelistic messages that would ever be preached. And thousands came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And in between those times from when he failed and when God used him, he tried to quit. He wanted to give up. That's how awesome our God is. Even in the greatest of failures, he can pick you back up in a moment and raise you back up. See, it don't matter where you're at. He can take you from the lowest of lows and place you in the highest of highs in a moment. And hey, when you go into his presence, a fresh relationship with him, there is no higher. But again, remember this. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things. Have a wonderful week. Remember the prayer request. The FM transmitter comes in and we'll have time to get it working right, okay? I love you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday.